looks like a clinic on how not to do things on the baseball field.
Now, the show that Red Sox Nation turns to first. This is Boston Mo.
Big Y Grocery Store, C-Mobile, Needham Bank, Ron Bouchard's Auto Stores, Jordan's Furniture, Integrity from Marvin Windows and Doors, TestTrips.com, Acura of Auburn, Anderson McQuay, Direct Federal Credit Union, Gravely Lawnmowers, AceTicket.com, WFXD-TV, and Mohegan Sun.
Boston's home for sports, 98.5, the Sports Hub.
The Red Sox are one strike away. Red Sox fans inside the stadium are ready.
Man, I'd have to throw a fastball as hard as I could. But he's
and
not.
2-2. Swing and a miss. He struck him out. And the Red Sox are kings of the American League East for a franchise record third year in a row. They beat the Yankees here tonight for their 104th victory of the season.
Yeah, Maz, it ain't over till it's over. Remember 78, Maz. You remember 78. I told you there was nothing to worry about. I told you a long time ago when the Yankees got to 6.5 or 5.5 or whatever the hell it was. Nothing to worry about. The American League East, for all intents and purposes, was actually decided in August. That's when the New York Yankees came into Boston, undermanned, but nonetheless, for a four-game series and get their asses kicked. The Red Sox swept them right out the door, and that was it. It was over. Last night, it became official. Okay, so Red Sox defeat the Yankees. They come from behind. They win the American League East. The magic number is now 2 to clinch the best record in baseball, which will mean home field throughout the playoffs. And that, by the way, is no small thing. Okay, no small thing. You get the DH for an extra game. Keeps J.D. Martinez out of the outfield for an extra game. Certainly you want to play by your rules as much as possible. Not to mention the fact that in any series, if it goes the distance, the deciding game will be played right here in Boston. Boston. And there was a period of time here from about 2004 to 2008, call it, where the road to the World Series went through Boston. And now, maybe it will again. Let's open up the phone lines, Jimmy Stewart, 617-779-0985. Baseball Reporters is brought to you by Mohegan Sun. Unlimited possibilities await you at Mohegan Sun. Plan your stay at MohiganSun.com. Two things should strike you from this game last night. Okay, and I said this earlier on the baseball, I'm sorry, on the Felger and Maz show, and I would love to know it. I don't know that there's any actual way for me to put these parameters in place. It's something that the Elias Sports Bureau might be able to do. But last night, the Red Sox starting pitcher, Eduardo Rodriguez, walked 7 batters, and the Red Sox allowed a grand slam. I challenge you or anyone to find me what percentage of the time a team wins a game when its starter walks 7 guys and they allow a grand slam in the game. I challenge you to find it because I'd be willing to bet it happens about 5% of the time, if that. The point being this, if you think last night was some sort of blueprint on how to win in October, it isn't. So the Red Sox have had a lot of these kinds of wins this year, and maybe that makes last night in some way fitting that they clinched the division with that kind of win. The Red Sox were up in the early part of that game. The game closes to 4-2. They go to the bottom of the fourth with 2 outs. 2 outs. Nobody on base. Eduardo Rodriguez walks 3 in a row. Alex Cora makes a pitching change finally and brings in Heath Hembree to face Giancarlo Stanton. And wouldn't you know it, the wheel of gutless bums takes over again. Grand slam. The Red Sox fall behind. They come back. They rally. They tie it. They go ahead. Mookie Betts with a 3-run homer that pretty much cemented it, and they win the game. They wrap up the division, and again, they will wrap up top seed throughout the playoffs here with a magic number of 2. 2 more victories, 2 losses by those teams highest in the standings, which I think is Houston at the moment. And I haven't even looked at the National League, but I don't think anybody has a better record than the Astros. In any case, you get the idea. Okay, the Red Sox are about to be the top seed in the postseason. And yet, despite that, the number of flaws on this team, specifically the ones at the end of the game, really should scare you. Okay, they really should. So again, that win last night, I guess in the short, you know, the short version of the question or the story is, does a win last night really give you more confidence that they will be successful this October? Because the win in and of itself, it's a hard way to live in October. And I give you that game with the Cleveland Indians here when the Indians were in town for, was that the beginning of this month or the end of last month? Whatever, a couple of weeks ago. The Indians were in town. The Red Sox blew a lead, and you know what the Indians did? They gave the ball to Andrew Miller and Brad Hand, and they shut you down in the late innings, and you didn't come back. So that's what you're going to see in October. Now, that said, there were some things that should give you optimism or make you feel good entering October. Okay, starting with the tone that Alex Cora, as manager, has set for this team this year. And to me, Cora's been a breath of fresh air. And again, maybe it's just because he succeeded John Farrell, who answered every question like he was written, like it was written from, or like it was read from a statement written by an attorney. I mean, it was just so cold and impersonal and inhuman that it was hard to relate to. But Cora last night was asked about winning the division. Here's what he said.
There's a lot of guys there that these are third straight division title, and they know that, you know, there's bigger things, you know, and we set that up, you know, early in spring training. Obviously, you know, it's a great accomplishment, but where we play, just winning the division is not enough.
Oh, I love that. I love that last line. Where we play, winning the division, it's not enough. Where we play, winning the division is not enough. See, like, once upon a time, winning the division for the Red Sox meant the chance at finally changing the identity of the franchise. Once upon a time, that's what it meant, because they hadn't won in a century or close to it. But now, well, now we know better. Now the standards are different. Now the identity of the franchise has changed. And the last thing you want is for it to change back. And the last couple of years, it felt like it was starting to go that way. Good enough to make the playoffs, just flawed enough to not do anything, or cursed enough or whatever, use whatever term you want, but flawed enough to fail when they got there. Now this team feels flawed enough to fail. Good enough to get there, no question. But that bullpen feels like a major flaw. I love the fact, though, that Cora is emphasizing that, because I think the leadership in that clubhouse was part of the problem last year. The year before, Ortiz was still around, but it felt like that became sort of a priority, was to send Ortiz off with a playoff team, because then they get to the postseason and get their asses kicked. But last year felt like a lot of young guys who just thought that winning the division was enough. So I don't know if it's J.D. Martinez or I don't know if it's Cora, but if we're going to blame a manager for a bad environment and culture, then I think you have to give him credit when there's a good one there. Again, that comment, for where we are, where we play, winning the division is not enough. Celebrate it in Oakland if you want. Celebrate it in Cleveland if you want. Or Minnesota. Or any other place where they think it's a big deal just to get to the playoffs. Here, with the highest payroll in baseball, and as good a collection of young talent as most any team in the game, maybe not all, but most any team in the game, Benintendi, Betts, Bogarts, all these guys are good players. It's about October. Okay, so now maybe these guys can forge their own identity, because that's what's at stake for them in the month of October. 617-779-0985. We'll take as many of your calls as possible tonight. Mike is in a car. Go ahead. Mike wants to talk about the bullpen.
Hi, Maz. Yeah, we've been talking about it for a few nights now, but they scare me. Because you're not going to be able to do this in the playoffs. It's just the teams are too good. I mean, what do you do with that bullpen? Do you keep some starters and use them in the bullpen? I mean, it's that scary.
So, Mike, what do you do?
I don't know. I'd take maybe a couple of the bullpen arms, but maybe keep a couple of starters that you think, you know, will function in that role.
Okay, so look, I mean, I think that's all they can do, Mike. And again, I don't think you're offering up anything revolutionary at this stage. And honestly, I don't know that anyone could. They missed the chance to add help. So whatever it is, they're going to have to figure it out with the people they have. So whether that means in between starts, Price pitches out of the bullpen in October, or maybe Eduardo Rodriguez does, or maybe Porcello does. And I'm not telling you I think any one of those guys are the answer. But the fact that Cora would go that route, I don't know, maybe. Maybe Matt Barnes gets hot. Maybe Stephen Wright becomes the guy, which brings us to Dominic in Southbridge. Go ahead, Dominic.
Hi. Yeah, I don't understand why we can't embrace the paradox of our most consistent pitcher out of the bullpen being a knuckleballer. The guy, all he does is come out, he's in this zen kind of like area. He doesn't melt down like the rest of these bums. And he just kind of keeps throwing it in there, always getting his weak ground balls, pop flies, and he just eats up innings in that middle relief bit. And he's such a big change from the rest of those arms, which are all throwing the same pitch. They're all, it's all coming at the same angle, the same, you know, the speed. Everything is just, they're just carbon copies of each other. And then they just, they can't throw strikes. And then when they do, it's like batting practice.
Okay, so Dominic, listen, you make a lot of good points, but let me ask you a very simple question. Do you trust the knuckleball?
I just, compared to everything else.
No. That's not what I asked you. I asked you, do you trust the knuckleball? It's a yes or no question.
Yes, in this case, I do.
Okay, so
there's
again,
nothing else to trust.
But when you say, but again, I don't want you. You just said in this case, I want you to answer the question. In October, do you trust the knuckleball?
Yes.
Okay, I don't, and I think a lot of people don't, and I can't say I blame them. And I'd venture. I listen, years ago, I had the privilege of doing a book with Tim Wakefield. And I covered Wakefield's whole career, okay? But I was able to help him write his book. And believe me when I tell you, there isn't any evaluator, manager, or coach in baseball that trusts the knuckleball. They just don't. And if you do, well, then good for you. Because at the end of the day, you want to look at it and say, well, as long as you get the guy out, what's the difference? It doesn't matter. Fly ball, ground ball, wild pitch, pass ball, two guys on, no guys on. At the end of the day, if it's zero runs and you do the job, who cares? But we all know it doesn't really work that way. That all of a sudden you get a couple of men on, now you're in jeopardy, and now you're relying on a pitch that just kind of floats up there like a butterfly. And it could go in any direction, and sometimes it doesn't move at all. And that's just a hard thing to pin your hopes to because you are really betting on the whims of the pitch. That's a hard thing to pin your championship hopes to as opposed to 95 or a split finger or a nasty slider, something that is a little more tangible and predictable. It's a hard thing to do. The fact that the Red Sox are here and considering it is an indictment on the rest of their bullpen. It, you might be right. It might be the best way to go. But the fact that they're here really is an indictment on their bullpen. 617-779-0985. When we come back, we'll touch on a number of things. Chris Sale's performance tonight, very important. Some details coming up with what the Red Sox expect from him. We'll touch on that. We'll play more sound from you from the clubhouse last night, too, because Cora wasn't the only one sending out the right message.
Boston's most comprehensive discussion of every.
You don't quit on your team.
When you want to win, play through anything.
The Baseball Reporters, 98.5, The Sports Hub.
There's a lot of guys there that these are third straight division title, and they know that, you know, there's bigger things, you know, and we set that up, you know, early in spring training. Obviously, you know, it's a great accomplishment, but where we play, just winning division is not enough.
First step, a lot of the guys here, we're so hungry, you know, we know what's on the line, we know what's next, this is the first step, so we're obviously happy, but, you know, we can tell we're so hungry and we're so excited for October now.
The last 2 years, it's, you know, just been a taste, and we want more, so our goal is obviously to win the World Series, and this is the first step.
So again, that came out of the Red Sox clubhouse last night. It started with Cora, then you heard J.D. Martinez, then you heard Ben Attendee, and the message was the same. Okay, it was really the same from every guy. It's just a start. This is just a start. So I think finally it feels like the Red Sox have been here before. It's like that old saying, right? Act like you've been here before, been there before. The Red Sox have been there before. winning the division doesn't mean jack. I mean, it's great. It means that you got into the playoffs, and in this case, it means that they'll have home field throughout, and they'll host the division series. And again, I'm assuming they will get the magic number of two accomplished here in the next few days, and they'll have home field throughout. But all of that, ultimately, you got to win in October. And I'm telling you, every time we play that the end of that Cora cut, oh God, I do. I love that line so much. Where we put Jimmy, play it again. I just love the way he says it. Where we play, it's not enough.
There's a lot of guys there that these are third straight division title, and they know that, you know, there's bigger things, you know, and we set that up, you know, early in spring training. Obviously, you know, it's a great accomplishment, but where we play, just winning the division is not enough.
Where we play, just winning the division is not enough. Where we play. Oh, God, I do. I love that. That one gives you a little bat in your pants, Murray, right? A little maple bat. Totally. And Jimmy Stewart just said this in my headset, and you know, there's a measure of truth to this, too. For all the crap, and I'm in a good mood. It's Friday evening. The Red Sox just won their 104th game and wrap up the division. Give ownership a little credit here. Okay, they spend the money. They do spend the money. And the standard here is not to win divisions. For a long time, the Red Sox didn't act that way. They were happy to just get in the playoffs and hope they got lucky. I mean, for a lot of years under the Yawkey Trust at the end, they really did act like a middle market team, which is a joke. And they don't do that anymore. So from that standpoint, the standard here is high, and that does speak to ownership and the money they put into it. Okay, so let's not just ignore that, because I think that's a significant thing.
Yeah.
And
but if the standard was truly about a championship, I would think that ownership would have pressured the general manager to work a little harder to add to the bullpen around the trade deadline.
Okay, so
just my opinion.
So no, it's a good one, Murray, and I want to see where the payroll ends up, because if they didn't go over that 237, that will irritate me. But I still put that one more on Dombrowski, because it felt to me like Dombrowski had the latitude to make moves, and he made some. I mean, they went in and added players.
Sure.
They added Eovaldi and added Kinsler. He just didn't go get a reliever.
Ownership doesn't make the call on players.
Okay, so fine. That's enough love for John Henry and the ownership group. I don't want to go too far on that. But nonetheless, the standard here is higher than it used to be, and it's been true now for about 15 years.
Larry Lucchino runs the Red Sox.
Indeed, he does. Not anymore. Indeed, he used to.
You're misleading the public.
But as it pertains, the other part of the expectation comes from the fan base. So look, again, you've won now. You know what it takes, and you know what a winner looks like. You've seen a winner over and over again, three times now. You know what a winning team and a championship team feels like and looks like. And this team has some of the qualities. Not all of them, but some. So the question is whether those some can outweigh the maybes or the no's. Can the sum make up for that bullpen? I mean, it's really such a huge hole. Mike is in a car. Go ahead, Mike.
Hey, guys. How you doing?
Good.
I just wanted to comment on the Yankees series. Really gives me optimism as a fan to see the Sox down 0-2 in the series, back against the wall. They come back, win the final game, wrap up the division. As much as the bullpen sucks, and, you know, it was a scrappy win, as a fan, I feel a lot better going into this postseason than the last two.
Okay, so I'll tell you what. The Yankee series, though, doesn't necessarily give me your optimism or make me feel good. Murray, let me ask you a question. On a whole, was the series a success or a failure?
This last one?
Yeah.
A failure.
Absolutely a failure. You lost 2 out of 3, and Price got his ass kicked in game 2.
Yeah, you gave some confidence to a team that I think that you would, you know, well, you obviously dominated in that 4-game sweep, and you felt, you know, they looked like they, like, you know, shoved their face right in the dirt, and that there would be no issue with them in the postseason. You breathe a little life into that Yankee club with this series.
And the one game you won with a formula that really is not going to be sustainable.
It's not at all.
I mean, let's be honest. Jim is in Salem, New Hampshire. Go ahead, Jim.
Hey, what's going on? Just had a crazy scheme for the division series there. Let's just start Eovaldi for a game over in Yankee Stadium. He's proven he can dominate the Yankees. I know I don't trust Eovaldi, but I don't trust Price either in Yankee Stadium.
So, Jim, Price would probably pitch game 2 in Boston.
But would you even trust him over Eovaldi? Eovaldi's done pretty good, and Price really doesn't do pretty really good at all against the Yankees.
Okay, I'll tell you what. I'm starting Price over Eovaldi. I know Eovaldi had a good game in the opener of this series, but I'm not starting Eovaldi over David Price. You know, if Eovaldi had pitched consistently throughout the time that they acquired him, I might feel differently, but he hasn't. Jason's in a car. Go ahead, Jason.
Maz, you know, years ago when the new Yankee Stadium was built, it was my understanding that the dimensions of the park were the same as the old ballpark. I know they talked about that there might have been some issues with the wind in the new park. Can you shed some light? Because, frankly, you know, if the Red Sox had hit some of these home runs that the Yankees hit, the Red Sox wouldn't be, you know, complaining that they're cheapies. And but I do know watching the games in the new Yankee Stadium compared to the old one, it does seem as though those home runs to right field can still be home runs now that maybe in the old ballpark they wouldn't have been.
I agree.
Any thoughts on that?
Yeah, and so look, let me tell you that I don't want to hear any crying about the home runs at Yankee Stadium. You want to know one of the reasons why the Red Sox beat the Yankees in 04? Because the lefties in their lineup were better than the lefties in the Yankees. Ortiz, Johnny Damon. Go back to Game 7. You know what happened Game 7 in New York in 2004? Johnny Damon got thrown out at the plate of the first inning, and then David Ortiz hit one into the right field seats. And then later in the game, grand slam to right field. Johnny Damon, left-handed batter. The Red Sox lefties were better than the Yankees lefties. They beat them at their own game. That's why they won in 04, one of the reasons they won in 04. Now, as it pertains to the new stadium, allegedly the dimensions are the same. And I say allegedly because you never know until you go out there and actually walk it. Right? And whenever, you know, there are certain standards that Major League Baseball has for stadiums, and oftentimes clubs, for historical reasons or whatever, will apply for exemptions to allow them to build a ballpark a certain way. My guess is that had to happen in New York because of how short right field is. That said, whether it's the same distance or not, the ball carries different in the new ballpark compared to the old one. It carries way better. Anything in the air that way feels like it's going out. I mean, it really is. It's Williamsport.
The Baseball Reporters with Tony Maz, 98.5 The Sports Hub. The show that Red Sox Nation turns to first. The Baseball Reporters, 98.5 The Sports Hub.
To right field, racing back Martinez, still going back, and it's gone.
Yeah, not much to say about that.
His 35th home run of the season. A line shot the other way. And the three men on base who all took ball four come in to score.
Not that anybody really cares. I was watching the game with my father last night, and that happened. And I said, okay, I'm going to go home now. And I got up off the couch and get in the car and drove home. And I said, I'll hear the rest of it in the car or watch it when I get home. Because you could feel that coming in that game last night. The Red Sox blowing the lead. You could feel that coming at Yankee Stadium. Reds were up. Eduardo Rodriguez loads the bases. Then all of a sudden, here comes Giancarlo Stanton. Cora goes and gets Heath Embry, which is fine. Because I sort of thought, well, Embry's the right guy for Stanton. I mean, Stanton wants to pull everything. He wants to crush everything. You throw him a slider off the plate, he'll swing and miss it by a foot. I mean, he hasn't even come close sometimes. So that's because he is so concerned, Stanton is, about flying open and, you know, letting his left side just completely open up and stepping in the bucket, that he closes his stance up like that and he still pulls off a little bit. So the guy wants to hit the ball to left field and jack everything. So Embry was the right guy, but he didn't get the pitch far enough outside. And he allowed Stanton to just hit a line drive into the Mickey Mouse seats in right field at Yankee Stadium. So, and you could see it coming. They came back and won the game anyway. But again, is that really how you want to live in October? Is that the way you think you're going to do it against good teams? Because I don't think it is. John's in Bridgewater. Go ahead, John.
Hey, Maz, what's happening? So you talk about the standard and the Sox maintaining their standard. So I was curious because this stuff stresses me out. I love the Sox. They're my first love. So it stresses me out thinking whether the Sox are going to re-sign Mookie this year or not. I wanted to get your opinion on it.
So, John, don't hold your breath on it. They've tried with Mookie before, and he has said no. He wants to go year to year. And I was actually having this discussion last night as well. If you wanted to sign Mookie Betts right now, you know what it's going to cost you? I mean, I don't even think this gets it done, but I think it at least gets you in the game. 8 years, $250 million. 8 years, $250 million. You got to give him $31.5 million a year, whatever the hell that is, $31.25 million a year to even sit down with him, because he's going to make a killing when he gets to the market. Kyle's in Somerset. Go ahead, Kyle.
Maz, Murray, what's up, boys? So I'm a little bit nervous about Chris Sale and whether or not he's going to be able to pitch more than 50, 60 pitches in a game. What are your thoughts on him being the bridge guy? Because I'd rather have him be a reliable reliever rather than throw him out there for 3-4 innings in game one and then he can't pitch.
Okay. So Kyle, look, you ask an excellent question. And I think that brings us to the piece of news concerning Chris Sale that Murray had before the show even began. He mentioned to me off the air, but it's certainly worth repeating. Murray, tell everybody what you told me.
Yeah, so this is from Chris Mason, Red Sox writer for the Eagle Tribune, who tweeted that Chris Sale scheduled for 5 innings and 75 pitches tonight. So he had some quotes from Alex Cora before the game, so this must be right from the mouth of the manager. But again, Sale scheduled for 5 innings and 75 pitches, which is up because he was supposed to be scheduled for something a little bit less from what I had read and heard.
55 or yeah. So here's my question. Do you have any of those quotes in front of you, Murray, or of anything Cora actually said?
No, it was just that, you know, so reading between the lines with Cora, sounds like Nathan Eovaldi is going to be in the rotation if the Red Sox draw the Yankees in the ALDS, as he should be.
He said that.
Well, it says, again, this
over
is
Eduardo Rodriguez, probably.
Yeah, I mean, if you want to allude to that, sure. But Chris Mason, just all he said was reading between the lines with Cora. Sounds like Eovaldi would be in the rotation if the Sox draw the Yankees. All that really was on Sale was just what he had here. 5 innings, 75 pitches.
Okay, so, Murray, do me a favor if you wouldn't. I'm not barking out dog orders. Go fetch. But if there are any comments specifically as it pertained to Eovaldi and that start against the Yankees in the DS, let's see if we can find them from Cora. But in the interim, as it pertains to Sale, as Murray said, 5 innings, 75 pitches. The last time Sale went out there was 3 innings and 41 pitches. Okay, and focus on the pitches, not the innings. Typically what happens, and this is spring training all over again in some ways for Chris Sale. It's really not a bad analogy. It's not a bad place to go. Spring training, he threw 41 pitches in the last outing. 41. Typically when you are ramping a guy up, you add 15 every time. So you would go from 45 to 60 to 75 to 90. And then after that, now you're at 105 and you're where you need to be. So the Red Sox's most recent one with Chris Sale were at 41. Tonight they jumped to 75. Now in my mind, that's a significant jump. And it tells me that what we were talking about earlier in the week is exactly where Sale is. He's not quite there. The pace that they're working at isn't enough for him to go out and throw 110 pitches in game one of the playoffs. This idea of all I got to do is get to 100 is wrong, because what they have to do is they got to get him over 100. We're not looking for Chris Sale to throw 93 pitches. And by the way, whenever they set a pitch limit, almost always the guy comes in less. Okay, we set the limit at 75. He actually threw 62. So keep an eye on that tonight. But the goal for Sale, it feels to me like tonight they are going to push him a little bit, which again is not unusual in your second to last one. So now, I don't know, maybe he's going to throw pitches in the bullpen again after they pull him off the mound. But I would hope they want to put Chris Sale under some stress tonight on the mound. You have to know that he can endure it. So 75 pitches, let him go the 5. And then in the next one, which is Tuesday, let him throw 90. He's got to get to 90 pitches, at least. I'd like to see him throw 100 next week, but I feel they're behind the pace. I don't feel like he's built up quite enough stamina yet, if that's what you want to call it. And I'm not sure that even one or two starts at 75 and 90 will do it. But the fact that he's going to 75 tonight tells me they know he hasn't gotten enough mound time. He hasn't gotten it yet. They need to get it for him in the next 6 days. Kevin's in Pawtucket. Go ahead, Kevin.
Hey, Tony. So my question is, I feel like this team looks a lot like the 04 team. I mean, like, do you feel honestly this team looks like Sale is equal to, like, Pedro?
No.
And
Kevin, and I'm not trying to be a wise ass. To me, it's a lot more like the 03 team, and I'll explain why. The 03 team and the 04 team were different for obvious reasons. The 03 team was good, but they were flawed. The bullpen was flawed. But the starting pitching overall, pretty good, and they had a killer lineup. Okay? So the closing thing was a big problem on that team. That was the famous closer by committee year. So when it failed, you know what they did? They went out and got themselves a closer, Keith Folk, and they traded for Curt Schilling. Then during the season, they ended up moving Nomar, too, and that was a whole different argument. But nonetheless, the base of the team, the foundation of the team was there in 03. But the bullpen ultimately did them in. Now, you'll say Grady Little did them in, and you're right, but Grady Little did them in because of the trauma that was inflicted on him by the bullpen during the regular season. So when it got to a big moment in October, he left his starter in too long, even though at that time his bullpen was pitching well. Jim's in Wellesley. Jim, go.
Tony, last night was the 106th game this year that the Red Sox have scored four or more runs. Their record in those games is 92 wins and 14 losses. They win 85% of the games in which they score four or more runs. But they also have played 47 games in which they have scored three or less runs. And their record in those 47 games is 12 wins and 35 losses. They lose three out of four games.
Okay, Jim, yeah. But when everybody scores three or fewer, they lose.
But you pointed out, you know, the point that the bullpen has been the major problem.
Yeah, so look, the bullpen is a major problem. The point is, when you get into low scoring games and teams shut down your offense, your bullpen isn't good enough to match up with the other bullpen. The other team scores first. This is my point. Don't look at it as our offense can't hit against good bullpens in the late innings. Nobody's bullpen hits against good. I mean, nobody's lineup hits against good bullpens in the late innings. That's why the bullpens are good. So you got to look at it from a totally different standpoint. The way you beat someone else's bullpen is with a better bullpen, not with a better lineup. You don't beat good pitching with a good lineup. You beat good pitching with better pitching. That's how you do it. Chuck's in a car. Chuck, go.
Hey, Maz, of the 10 teams that are most likely going to the playoffs, how much value do you put into the win-loss record of those teams against one another? And I say that because I think you know who's number one on that list and who's at 500 right in the middle. How much weight do you put on that?
Okay, so look, I think typically if you were to look historically, that metric translates well. So, and honestly, I haven't done this in a long time, but I think what you're getting is that the Yankees have the best record against contenders. They've played the best against Houston, Cleveland, Boston, Oakland combined. Okay, the Red Sox are under 500. I think they're a game under. Now, again, are the Yankees the same now as they were earlier in the year? I don't know. But if the Yankees play at their peak, are they capable of beating the Red Sox? Of course. I'll take Oakland in the first round 5 times out of 5. If the Yankees are clicking, I want nothing to do with them. Just a quick reminder, you can listen to the Baseball Reporters podcast whenever you want. It's available on our website at 985thesportshub.com. So if you miss the show, you can catch it there. You can also listen on the Sports Hub app. Matt McCarthy's Hardcore Baseball podcast, also available on the website. So you can get your baseball talk there from Matt McCarthy as well. And if you haven't listened to his podcast, it's actually quite good.
The Baseball Reporters, 985 The Sports Hub.